And we're off. We're live. Not live, obviously. Could you imagine?
Live right now.
Live right now for us. We're live.
Yeah. So not to you. Good.
Not to you. A pretty good bank holiday weekend for us all, other than the fact that Bob didn't join us in Germany. But we'll move past that.
Before you start with your misleading agenda, Clive.
Oh, here we go again.
Well, I said I've got a question for you all, but it's more of a statement because obviously you won't know the answer to the question because you were all kind of just poncing around in Germany at the time. but I was going to say, did any of you see the front cover of the Basden Recorder?
No.
No.
No, I can't say that while she's in Germany, we got the Basden Recorder.
That's not over there, mate.
The headline said...
I don't want to hear it.
Local man Bob achieves groundbreaking victory against AI.
Oh, yes.
It was the first real victory, though, wasn't it? Because all of them had been draws up until that point.
All right, because you've... No. Yeah, I suppose they were, yeah.
Yeah. So, first person to, I suppose, set the... what's the word? I don't know.
All in motion?
That's it, yeah. The world in motion.
There you go. The matches at the weekend.
Oh, there was games, was there?
good results for everyone, really. Chelsea 6-2 win against Wolves. I think we'll start there, Mitch.
Hang on, Clive. I've lost my notes, mate.
It's a waste of weight.
So I might just pause it, mate. They'll never know.
I just remember that, like, just before this, Clive said, "Has everyone got their notes? Is everyone ready?" Everyone confirmed yes, and now Mitchell is doing this.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit all over the show.
Floor is open. Floor is yours. Not open.
I mean, I was just going to say, right, before I get into the game. And I said this to you the other day, it's going to be ridiculously hard to predict Chelsea's results this season, especially correct score results, because it's going to be absolutely all over the place. I think we're going to have a lot of high scoring goals like this weekend, and then real shitters like 2-0 against City. I've even got, right, I know this is a little bit far away, I had Man United beat us 1-0. In the opening 10 games, even though it looks like we can score for fun, we'll just be shit against the top teams. Because as impressive as that result is, Wolves were fucking awful. And the two goals they got were both defensive mistakes. Both from Caicedo, actually. He had a really poor first half. But outside of that, oh, my goodness me. Our attacking, going forward. I mean, even Jackson was having a good day. And I still don't like Jackson. I still think he could have and should have scored more than he did. But his first goal, I think even Wolves look at him and think, we ain't got to worry about this guy.
Don't worry about marking him at the back post.
Leave him be, because what he'll do, if he connects with it, is he'll pass it to the keeper. And I think that, I mean, he was on his own in dreamland, and I think even he couldn't believe it. He actually hit a corner and didn't aim for the centre of the goal. He's still shit, though. Fuck him. Yeah, and then fucking Wolves come back, getting a Caicedo mistake, and like I said, the defence is going to be a little bit shaky throughout the season. But, my God, if we start going with this new system with Palmer in the middle and we start playing Madueke on the right, and then you kind of can rotate the left, because I've got no notes on Murdyk. I always say his name wrong. What is it? Murdyk?
No,
Mudryk?
I think it's
Mudryk, isn't it?
Mudryk, that's it. I've got no notes on him. I don't know what he did. Yeah, but it was lovely. It wasn't for long, but it was lovely when it was Neto, Palmer and Madueke. And I even said that before the season started, that was my That was my dream three going on. The unfortunate thing about that is where Nkunku comes into play, because if Palmer's going into the number 10, then you he could maybe play up front. Like I said, and Jackson, if he starts doing it week in, week out, maybe he can keep his position, but I'm not sure. Although he was involved in the second goal, and the second goal, Cole Palmer, my goodness. I mean, I think the ball touched the ground twice. It was a kick out from Sanchez, bounce on the floor. Jackson, it is still an awkward assist, but all right, we'll let him off. He did it. And then a tiny little bounce on the floor, Palmer, nice little side foot. Beautiful goal. Beautiful. The guy. He's lovely. What a guy.
He's lovely.
What a guy. Absolutely love him. And then what happened with Wolves' second goal? Yeah, again, poor defending. It was Madueke gave away the free kick. It was just a cross in from a free kick, and there were three Wolves players unmarked.
Lining up, weren't they?
Yeah, anyone could have gone for it. Really, really poor defending. And it is, like I say, it is a worry, because Wolves were so poor that you do that against the slightly better teams, and you're not going to outscore them. It's as simple as that. And that's what I've said from the start. The only hope we've got this season is outscoring teams, because we can't rely on keeping a clean sheet. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, the first half ends 2-2. We were pretty dominant. Like I said, it was our mistakes that gave Wolves their goals.
They had a chance as well from, maybe not a mistake, but they had a chance at 1-1 that they should have done better with. I can't remember who it fell to. But
it was Cunha again, wasn't it?
Was it? And yeah. If he'd scored that again, could have been a completely different game. Like, you trailing the game, heads may have dropped a little bit.
Yes, possibly. But you still go in at half time, 2-2, and you're at home.
Well, this would have been that would have put Wolves 2-1 up.
Yeah. But I'm still like, it's not like they were behind, right? And this is the point I'm trying to get at here, is when they came out in the second half, I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know what Gary O'Neill said to them at half time. They were lethargic, awful. They were even worse than the first half. They still had chances. Chelsea's defence isn't great. They could have come and put the pressure on. They were non-existent in the middle of the park in the second half. And then you get your third goal, and they just fell apart. But the three follow-up goals, I mean, Madueke, I love the guy, honestly. I really, really, really hope he sticks with his system. He has Cole in the middle, Madueke on the right. Because the two of them together, they are off the pitch. They're good friends. There's good chemistry there. I know you're going to laugh at this, but they call themselves Ice and Fire.
It's great that he can get a hat-trick even in a shit place like Wolverhampton, as he so
yeah,
put it
yeah.
on social media.
He did apologise after, to be fair to him. We'll let him off. And I was going to make a joke about Wolverhampton, but I'm not going to do that. I've already got fucking females hating me. His hat-trick, it was a fine hat-trick. It was great. But it was goals I expect him to score. But they were all very similar goals. It was
all similar positions.
Yeah, similar positions. Yeah. But again, I'm sorry, Jackson, but if he was given those chances, he'll fuck him up.
Madueke as well on the first goal. Bit of luck as well. Big deflection.
Yeah, it was a big deflection, but even in the first half, he was still having those chances making things happen. Because, you know, even if it, all right, deflection, maybe it doesn't go in, maybe it bounces off him and then there's someone there to follow up. Just make shit happen. And he's trying to make shit happen every time. Exactly the same as what Palmer does. He's always trying to make something happen. He's always trying to play the ball forward, always trying to have a go. You're not playing boring football and going backwards. And I'm all for it, because that's what we're going to need this season. What I will say about Caicedo, because he did have a poor first half, he was much better in the second half. He kept us... He was involved in the third and the fourth goal, and I can't remember. Yeah, it was after our fourth goal or fifth goal. Cucurella, we were up, we were attacking them in their box, right?
It was a bit of a lunge challenge.
Oh, Cucurella, what is he doing? Jesus Christ, he just dives in, lucky the player about jumps over him. I mean, obviously, because you're going to be on a counter attack, but if he'd gone down, he'd have been booked. But Caicedo...
At least
it was awful. But Caicedo stopped the attack straight after. I mean, he'd come off injured because of it, but they'd have gone on to score that. And like you say, it could have been a different game.
Caicedo nearly got murdered by that Mosquera, who was the same guy that...
The guy that pinned the... what's his face down?
Havertz.
Quite Havertz.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. What a nut job. He only got a yellow for that one as well, so...
He didn't get a yellow against Arsenal, so...
Oh, dear. I'm happy with our attacking football. The fence still scares me a little bit.
One of the differences I kind of know is obviously with Cole Palmer playing the number 10 role, obviously Enzo is a bit further back and probably in a more natural position for him.
Yeah.
And it gave him the opportunity to have a better game in a more natural position, I guess.
Well, yes, but also maybe because last week it was he next to Lavia, which Lavia had a quality game. Yeah, different sort of system. So I don't know. But if he plays better because of that, I'm all for it. Because again, I want Palmer to stay in that number 10 role. I want them three. Because even when Neto come on, again, like I said, I don't remember Murdoch doing much. If I've said his name right again. but Neto, it's just, again, same as Madueke. He's always looking to go forward. And Felix comes on for the last 10 minutes. It's a Neto run up the left-hand side. And it's not a blind pass. He's looking over. He's looking. And it's a lovely little fastball back to Felix. Just perfect ball. And Felix, top left, lovely. Again, Jackson, he'd have been a defender. He fucking missed that. I feel bad having a go at him. I even said before the game, I think Jackson scores today. I had Jackson and Madueke. And I stuck with them too because my prediction was 2-1. But I thought, yeah, Palmer's got one in the bag.
You
as
did
well.
Mention Palmer today, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, Jackson had another very good chance, but I think there was a couple. And that's the difference. I think if it was Madueke or Palmer, they'd have finished that. So I still think Jackson is a slight weak link up there, but we've got the left, the right, and the middle pretty spot on at the moment. So it's just shoring up that defence a little bit. Even though we have got a few injuries at the moment. Lavia again picked up a knock. Rhys James is out. And I can't remember.
Any news of Rhys James making the West Ham game?
How far away is that? Is that the fifth game?
I think it's the fifth or fourth game.
Well, yeah, he had a fucking three-match ban.
Between that as well, though. It's quite low.
Oh, have we? At the moment, all I've heard is just there's no official, like, you know, oh, you're going to be out for months. It's more, I think, more precautionary because of his track record of his injuries. So that kind of fills me with a little bit of hope. He's got to get his match fitness in somewhere, though. But yeah, I just think, yeah, overall, it was a great attacking display against a very, very poor Wolves team. But I'm happy.
I know you already touched on it, kind of, Mitchell, when you were talking about them just being completely switched off in midfield. But was it the third goal where it kind of came from a free kick and obviously they passed it to Palmer? They just literally switched off. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, the third goal, I can't remember the circumstances at the front of it. I think they were on the attack. But to be honest with you, like I said, I mean, the ball only bounced on the floor twice. I think that was just a genuinely good goal. But maybe their heads just went after that. But I was shocked how poor they were because Arsenal were the better team, but I didn't think they were that poor. They had their chances. And like I said, I was surprised because in the first half, I'd say, yeah, we took it just. We were the better team, but we were making mistakes. They could have come out and put a bit of pressure on, but it looked like they sat back. And like I say, the third goal goes in. You've lost the middle of the park and heads have gone. And yeah, it was a really, really bad second half from Wolves, but it was great for us, so I don't give a fuck.
And Madueka, I know you were saying, Clive, but that was like he... do you remember on... Was it FIFA 99? Where, like, if you literally went to the edge of the box and...
Shot like, with
cut across
player.
The keeper, then they just always score. It was like Madueka had that turned on during that game.
Yeah, yeah. That classic game before Madueka was born. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Shut up, Mitch.
Makes you feel old. Luke, any comments on the Chelsea game?
The shit.
You watch your language.
No, you see, I didn't see the game. I didn't see any of the highlights for Chelsea. I mean, after getting, you know, spanking Wolves 6-2, it's Chelsea.
Yeah. Didn't want to watch it, did you?
No.
It was really. A delightful spanking. We all have a good spanking, let's be honest. Wait, that's a different podcast, sorry.
Yeah, that's not going down.
It's a Friday night podcast.
All right, so let's move on to Arsenal Villa then. Go on, Luke.
What do you want me to say?
You usually, as soon as we mention the word Arsenal, have something to say, didn't you?
Oh, no, I've got something to say. I'll let you start first. don't worry, I've been saving all my energy for the Arsenal game. I didn't even talk about Chelsea. They gave Wolves a spanking. You know, we know that. But, you could say that they outscored Arsenal.
They did.
And the enemy's going for the Premier League now. But we'll keep that for
later. Oh, mate, we're top four.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, mate, definitely. I mean, the league would say otherwise because we're above you and West Ham, but we'll come to that. You know, certainly. But no, go on, Clive. Go on, I'll let you go by Austin.
First half was very dull. Only really two things to note in the first half was Emi Martinez made a cracking save for a low shot by Saka. And Ollie Watkins missed an absolute sitter.
It's really very stop-start. First half,
it was, yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of injuries and niggles, some handbags as well. We won't mention John McGinn and what he got away with, but again, second half actually started pretty slowly as well for Arsenal, and it wasn't really until they got the first goal that we dominated possession. We had a lot of the ball. But we wasn't really doing anything or making any chances with it. But when we did score, it then kind of forced Villa to try and come out a bit more, opened up a bit more space for Arsenal. And we started seeing the kind of triangles that we're used to seeing. Thomas Partey got a lot more space in the second half and forward positions, which gave him the chance to play the ball in the half turn a lot more, which he didn't have any time or space in the first half to do. And the other big talking point in the second half is the Raya save. Again, Ollie Watkins should be doing better. But for Raya to get up that quickly and get the arm out and a big hand, he's been the difference in the first two games. He's made two massive saves, which could have easily changed the outcome of the game if we'd gone behind against Aston Villa or if Wolves had gone equalised. So I keep saying that I'm still not sure if he's better than Ramsdale, but at the moment, if he makes a worldie every single week, then I can't make a defence for Ramsdale. I mean, Ramsdale's not got a chance, but superb. In terms of the first goal for us, I kind of wrote a couple of notes down about the Ben White link up more so than the Saka side of it. What we're seeing down the right hand side is Ben White make some very intelligent runs either on the outside or even for the first goal, he made his initial run on the outside, come back, dropped short, and then made a little run inside that took a defender away from Saka, because Saka gets doubled up on pretty much every single game, and then that just allowed Saka to wiggle free of Luca Dingy or whatever his name is.
There's another
Cleverism. Denny, whatever his name is, who was all over him as well, hands and everything, and Saka did very well to get to the ball, keep it in, play a ball into a dangerous area. Bit of luck, it come off of Rodgers after Havertz took a touch and just pinged to Trossard, and for Arsenal and most Arsenal fans, I think they would say who you would want the ball to fall to in the area. I think he's our best natural finisher, Trossard.
What did you make of his non-celebration?
He's non-celebrated a few times. It's not a talking point at all, really.
That's our image.
Oh, yeah. Shut up, Bob.
It's just not. It's one of those things that Twitter and media are going to try and put a spin on to say that he's not happy.
And
he's right to not be happy, because he does perform every single time he plays for Arsenal. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the start against Brighton over Martinelli, but at the same time, the work that Martinelli does defensively is incredible. And there's a few moments in that Wolves game where Martinelli is the furthest player back. Like, he's defending very deep, because in that game, Timber was coming into the central midfield a bit like Stones does for City, but from the left back position. And again, Timber is very capable of making recovery runs and he's got the pace. I think we saw that against Leon Bailey once.
Leon won that race.
Well, they were shoulder to shoulder at the end of it.
Yeah, he had more ground.
They were shoulder to shoulder. Like, if you watch it,
if you watch it again, Leon had more ground to cover. So Leon was quicker. Yes, they might have been shoulder to shoulder in the end, because he had shorter ground.
Timber caught up with him or kept up with him.
No, Timber was ahead of him. Yeah, and Leon was further back in terms of yardage. Yeah. So in other words, by the end of it, yes, they were together, but Leon was quicker, if that made sense. Because Leon was further back.
I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I think Timber had him in the pocket anyway. So and as I say, Martinelli did a lot of covering back when needed. And I think that may be why Martinelli is getting the nod to start, because at the moment it's about working hard until the results start to come. And we are trying a slightly different formation to the one last season, because we've got Thomas Partey and Rice both playing a lot of last season. They didn't play together. The start of the season, when they did play together, Thomas Partey was at right back. We could have ended the game 3-0 as well. Odegaard had an absolute... he should have finished. For the quality that he has, he should be scoring. Saka, obviously, another assist for the second goal. And that was, in my opinion, again, Ben White makes a very intelligent run to give Saka a bit of space. And then Saka then just lays the ball off to Thomas Partey, who's at the edge of the box with all the time in the world. Emi Martinez should save it. Like, there's no doubt in that. It's a shot that he should save. He should push around the post. But
he did have a little spin on it, though, to be fair.
There was.
Spinning towards his hand, and it was a bit awkward for him, I think.
Yeah. He's touted as one of the best goalkeepers in the world, right? And you'd expect one of the best goalkeepers in the world to say that. He's a World Cup winner.
Is he world class, or is he knocking on the door?
Only Luke can answer that. The other notes I got is I think Morgan Rogers for Aston Villa, other than Raya, they gave Raya a man in the match, but for me, Morgan Rogers was. He bossed the midfield, even with Partey and Rice in there. Anytime he got the ball,
he
was strong, he was direct, and we couldn't tackle him. We literally couldn't tackle him. We bounced off of him. But a bit of maturity from the Arsenal boys, which was nice to see. Rice took a yellow card when he needed to against Rodgers. Partey probably should have had a yellow card, because he did try and foul him a couple of times. I think we was very lucky. Not lucky. No, we were lucky. We were lucky. Watkins should have really, really finished one of his two chances.
He had a poor game.
That would have been a much different game. You would have been 2-0 down.
We would have been chasing the game. But again, we've got to dig deep. It's a tough start to the season that we've got. We know that. Brighton at home next, and they're second in the league or whatnot. Early days at the moment, but
there's the fears of last season getting in some of the Arsenal players' heads. It's a bit of a shaky start.
I wouldn't say it was a shaky start because we controlled the game mostly, with the exception of two mistakes, really. Like Gabriel for the Watkins chance. You're a big centre half. Why are you getting dragged over like that? Like, and there's no foul there. Like, I'm not saying that whatsoever. Like, but Gabriel, you've got the option to just give it back to Raya and let Raya punt it long. You've got an option right of you. I don't understand how that's happened. I think maybe that might be a little bit of pressure on Gabriel because we've got Calafiori coming in. So maybe he's feeling a bit more pressure in regards to his position. And he doesn't want to give the ball away or punt it long or do any of those small little things that may be a negative on his performance. But then if they'd gone and scored, it would have been a massive negative on the performance. So
I don't think your comment on controlling the game, I don't think you control it that much.
I rewatched it today.
But if you look at the stats for the game itself,
I think we had, 60% possession?
Well, you create 60% possession, but that's Arsenal anyway in general. Yeah, so Arsenal's always, no, don't go by possession, ignore that for a second. Yeah,
touches in the box.
But look at this for instance. So Aston Villa had 11 total shots, you had 9. On target, they had 3, off target, 3. Okay, you had 4, they had 4 on target, 4 off target. You passing, he was only a little bit better than them. Clear cut chances, 1-2. Corners, they had 4, you had 1. Offsides, they were more. Tackles, you made more tackles, which means that obviously they're attacking well. Aerial duels, they won that. Raya made more saves.
It was a aerial
duel. Gloves is aerial duels.
Yeah, exactly. Fouls committed. You committed 16 fouls to their 8. Like, if you was controlling that game so well, you wouldn't be making so many fouls. And we can all agree to that, right? You had 3 yellow cards versus their 1. So I wouldn't say controlling the game like that. When the game I watched, especially watching Villa, like they looked better than you, at least in the second half. The first half, as you said, was a bit...
Until you got that goal, they didn't control the game at all.
I didn't say they controlled the game. I said you didn't control the game.
I think we did.
Until you got that goal, it then changed again. I was curious to see what the possession was up until the first goal went in.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was then, but I mean, I don't know if you were watching the game than I was, but Villa looked a better team than Arsenal up until that goal went in, the lucky goal.
So have you rewatched the game?
I haven't rewatched the game, but I watched the game.
The first half, you had the back against the TV.
Well,
you didn't watch any of the first half.
Half of the first half, I had the back against the TV.
you didn't watch any of the first half.
And then, but even funny enough on that, is that even that last 25 minutes or 20 minutes of that, Villa still looked the better team in that last 20 minutes of the first half.
I think they, when they had possession of the ball, well, when Rodgers had possession of the ball, they looked dangerous. But other than that, they didn't look dangerous whatsoever.
I think if Watkins scores that first goal, you don't walk away with 3 points in this game.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. But again, he didn't score that goal.
Oh, fucking don't know he didn't. Jesus, he's had a poor couple of games.
Yeah, he had a bad game. But all I was saying was that when you said controlling the game, I disagree with that. Just because of the stats and the game that I watched.
That's fine. Well, you watched half the game. Fair enough.
which was funny enough because half the game they were the better team.
When when they had Rodgers in attacking areas, they looked decent. But other than that, Leon Bailey didn't really stretch us. Their left winger didn't really stretch us. Like, what else did they do?
Leon Bailey did stretch you. He did stretch you down the right.
One chance. One incident.
So you're telling me Saka stretched Villa only until like the last 2 minutes.
And I didn't
you said
say
he was
that.
Doubling up. No,
I didn't say that.
You're saying that Leon Bailey only did it once. Well, Saka only did it twice right near the end of the game when you was already like got the lucky goal.
I mean,
because of the Ben White situation.
Just to go off that as well, Saka didn't make Martinez make a great save in the first half.
Okay.
So that's more than twice. And he got the ball a lot. And he drew players out a lot.
You're very biased towards Arsenal, Clive. You watched the same game as I did. And yeah. I know full well the Villa were the better team.
I said
Villa were the better team up until the 65th minute, mate.
No, you said you controlled the game. You can't say Villa was the best. So you're telling me, so Villa really controlled the game up to the 60th minute then? That's what you're saying?
Well, no, you can't have
both. You can't have
you
both.
Can.
You can't have both.
Yes, you can.
No. How can you control a game when the third that game they controlled?
That makes no sense.
You literally.
No, I said they had the better chances, and I thought they was the better team. They didn't control the game.
The better team for 60 minutes.
No, I didn't say. They were the better team for 60 minutes of the game.
Okay.
Through the chances they had.
No, that's fine. Okay, you believe that. That's fine. We'll leave it at that.
You believe that, Clive. All right.
That's fine.
Deluded.
I'm just clarifying. You both were definitely watching the right game, yeah? You're watching the same one. Just clarifying.
Well, as I say, Luke watched some of it.
I mean, one of them was on the sauce too much, obviously.
I've watched it again today. So
did Luke, apparently. Jesus. Well. That's why he didn't watch any other games. He just wants to watch the Arsenal, doesn't he?
But overall, again, grind out results. When you're not playing to your full potential. Saka with another assist, heavily involved in the first goal. Business done.
He's knocking on the door, that boy, isn't he?
one of those many doors, you know.
100% is.
Has Luke thrown his microphone? Is he still off?
No, I'm still here, mate. No, I'm letting continue with his opinion on that game.
I feel like you just muted your microphone. This fucking Arsenal cunt.
No.
I've not got a bad thing to say about Tottenham this week. So it's going to be interesting. And we're moving to the West Ham game next. But anyone else want to make any opinions on the Arsenal game?
Do you think Martinelli, because I've seen a lot of, you know, seeing as I use Twitter so much now, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter about Martinelli being kind of off it. Do you think it is to do with him tracking back a lot and maybe not having that flair going forward?
I think he needs to work on his end product at the moment. He gets into some very good positions, but his passing's not there. We saw that in the first half when he tried to kind of dink the ball through to Saka once when we caught them. His end product in front of he's lacking confidence a bit. But I think a lot of it is to do with, I don't know, because he's got bundles of energy and he never looks tired. So. He has a big burden in regards to going back, because the other thing with having a left back come into midfield and try and pick up in between the lines, pick the ball up, is if we do get caught on the ball, he's the one that's generally sprinting back. So the defensive midfielder isn't really there to cover either part. He's usually on the right hand side. I don't think it's solely to do with that, but I think it would be playing a part in it, yeah. I think confidence is a little bit as well. He does... The one thing he's... Not the one thing, but one of the biggest things he's missing from the game at the moment is final product. I'll say about a few players in the league at the moment, that there's wingers that I don't think are great at delivering a final ball or a killer ball. And unfortunately, at the moment, Martinelli's in that category. Like you can see the difference when Trossard does come on. Maybe it is because Trossard is fresh when he comes on. Like even in the second half, he kind of dinks the ball through to Declan Rice, just first touch, confident, and Declan Rice then cuts the ball back for Odegaard's chance. And just little things like that, you just think, like Martinelli's capable of that on his day, but he's just not doing it at the moment. I think he would be a little bit unlucky to find himself on the bench for Brighton. But obviously Trossard's producing. Trossard will probably be... I think Trossard will start against Brighton, I really do. And we shall see how that plays out.
One of those things that you kind of need to get cleared up, doesn't it? Because like you are going to have those frustrations. If Trossard doesn't understand the role that he's playing, like, you know... with him being frustrated and being on the bench, like I feel like Arteta probably needs to set them standards, don't he?
I think you are
going to be this for the majority of the season.
I think he probably already has. And the best way that Trossard can respond is by making him have to change his decision, right? The best thing Trossard could do is go and produce a goal, go and produce an assist. Like, just keep saying, look, I'm doing this. The player in front of me isn't at the moment. Chuck me in. Let me see. Like, let me show you what I can do from the start. But again, I don't know the stats on how much impact he has from the start against what he does from the bench. But I think he's one of the highest. I think he scored the most goals, or equal to the most goals, from coming off the bench since the start of last season. So, like, he definitely is impactful from the bench. Yeah, he's probably had those conversations with Arteta, and Arteta's probably said, all right, this is what you got to do. Go and do it. And at the moment, I say he is doing it. He is making a difference. And now maybe you switch them up and Martinelli starts doing the same. And we still got Jesus to think about coming back, and I can see him being used on the wings as well.
Good headache to have.
Yeah, it's a great headache to have as a coach. And hopefully they all start performing. We need a couple of goals from Martinelli and a couple of assists. Let's say 3 points in the bag. Move on to Brighton. Again, another tough challenge. Time for West Ham now, Bob.
Very impressed, to be honest. Obviously, the game wasn't televised, so I've only watched the extended highlights. But from what I've seen, we looked a lot more organised defensively. There only seemed to be a couple of occasions when Palace seemed to break our lines, and I think Edouard was through on goal a couple of times. But we seemed to deal with that quite well. He did manage to get the shot off, but I think Kilman and Mavropanos kind of put him off enough to make him flop it. Is that the right word? Flop? No, maybe flop.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Obviously, in the previous episode of this, I was complaining about how disorganised we look, but we definitely seemed to shore it up a little bit. Talking of Max Kilman, he was very impressive in that game. I was kind of critical of him in the previous game, but I think he offers us something different in that centre-back role. I don't know if you have any of you watched the highlights, but he kind of...
I've seen the Match of the Day highlights, but I've not seen the extended highlights.
So, well, actually, I'll talk through the game in general anyway. So, obviously, the first half looked, I would say, half and half, to be honest with you. I don't think that there was a couple of chances either way. Kudus seemed to be playing really well again, kind of dominating that midfield, or certainly when he was getting on the ball anyway. And then, obviously, the second half, the first goal. Well, let's talk about the first substitutes, first of all. So, obviously, directly involved in the two goals. The first goal, Wan-Bissaka picked up the ball, drove it forward, held it up.
Like, rode two challenges as well, didn't they? Did very
two
well.
Two challenges. Looked, yeah, really, really good. It was kind of Antonio-esque, to be honest with you. Yeah, held the ball up, passed it into Bowen. A little bit of a mix-up, fell to Suchek, and he obviously scored. And then the second goal, Kilman kind of drove forward from the centre back. Nice little ball into Bowen. Bowen obviously does what he does. Little shift, little finish in the bottom right corner. Brilliant. But yeah, it was just a really positive experience from my point of view. Like, just even looking at the stats, like 42% possession. I know that doesn't sound like a lot to some of the teams that obviously you support, but for an away match for West Ham, it's pretty much unheard of to get anything over 30%, to be honest, especially on last season standards. It's good to see Alvarez kind of get on for a few minutes. But yeah, I think the main positives that I've kind of come away with is having all the different options now. Like, we've never really been in that position where we've got, in my opinion, quality options on the bench now. Clive, I don't know if it was you that mentioned it last episode, but Wan-Bissaka kind of not known, as I suppose, for going forward and looking good going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if that game was anything to go by, hopefully he keeps doing that kind of thing. Because
he did look, for that first goal, he looked very good, very, like, just direct and kind of what you want to see from a right back, really, running at players with the ball. He's a big, strong lad, isn't he? So
yeah, and to be honest, I think Soufal does do that. He does get forward, but I think Wan-Bissaka kind of done a very good job of luring players off of Bowen, and I really think it's going to help Bowen on that right hand side, free up some space, because he is doubled up on quite a lot in our game. So I think having Wan-Bissaka there will definitely help, and I wouldn't be surprised if he just kind of starting him from.
Yeah, I think he's going to be your first choice right back.
Yeah, I don't really have that much more to say about it, to be honest.
Bowen's goal as well, he rattled that net. He hit that with some venom, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was good to see, really, because I think in the first game, him and Paqueta were quite quiet, which, again, like I kind of alluded to last week, I think that's probably slightly to do with Villa and the way they press and that kind of thing. The only thing I'm a little bit concerned about, and I'm going to kind of talk about it later because I know we're going to talk about kind of transfer market and that kind of thing, but just the forwards. I know obviously we've got Falkbrug in there. I don't know whether we'll start Falkbrug and having Antonio come on later in the game. I feel like that makes more sense, but I don't know, really. And the only other thing was Mavropanos. He just makes me nervous, especially against teams that want to do that high press, which is a lot of teams nowadays.
So on the ball, he's not confident, or...?
Yeah, it's just kind of... I mean, I do know why, because he has done it on a few occasions, but I just feel like he's going to give the ball away every time he gets it, and they're on a high press, and it just makes me nervous. But... maybe having Kilman next to him will make him boost his confidence a little bit, and they'll start forming a relationship. All good here. Do any of you have any comments on it at all?
My notes from West Ham is the whole how well Wan-Bissaka did coming off the bench, and as I say, like driving at players, and for your first goal, as you said, he kind of beats two players, pops it into the inside. Does he get taken out as well? I can't really remember, but to do that, like, I don't think many United fans thought he had that in the locker, because he didn't do it often at United, and that's why, as you say, last week I kind of didn't know if he had that in the locker either. But for an English right back, I'd be happy to see him do that regularly for West Ham, as long as it's not against Arsenal anyway.
Yeah, and I think from a defensive point of view as well, a lot of the times, like I said earlier, yes, they got through on goal a couple of times, but it was only literally a couple of times. A lot of what Palace were creating was way outside of the box, as they obviously hit the bar. But a lot of chances were coming from outside the box, which I always think is a bit of a positive sign, especially when we're hitting them on counters like we were doing in that game. So, yeah. Positive times, positivity.
And kudos. Remember again. That. Kudos. Look. You'll do well to keep him for more than another year, I think.
Yeah. Or kudos, Paqueta and Bowen. I can't believe we got him, to be honest. I think Paqueta still was a bit quiet against Palace, to be honest with you.
He did try and get his yellow card, though, from what I've seen on Twitter.
Yeah. But... yeah, he's been a bit quiet, but I'm sure he'll pick it up at some point in the season. A lot of people were saying that they would get into any of the top six teams. I'm not so sure about that, to be honest with you, but I'm the same as you, Clive. I can't see us keeping Kudus, especially for that long. He's only like 26 or something as well. I thought it was like 30.
I was only really interested in... if Bowen had a better game, because like you said, he was quite lethargic in that first one. I think it all got to him a bit, the captaincy and everything else, but it sounds like he's turned up in this game, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah, and again, I think it is credit to Wan-Bissaka, really. I think he was in the second half, Bowen definitely came to life, and I think had a lot to do with the nuisance that Wan-Bissaka was being. All well known for great business.
And over to Tottenham, Luke. Impressive 4-0 in the end.
Yeah, I can't complain about that. We played the Ange ball of football, which is good to see. I mean, I understand that it's Everton. You know, they're probably favourites to get relegated this season. But again, as I said it before, is you can only play the teams that are in front of you, and if you can still do well against them. I mean, last season we drew 1-1 against them, and they still, you know, got deducted points and had injuries and stuff. So it's a good improvement from last season's result against Everton. So that's always a positive. Watching us play, watching the highlights, match of the day, and just reading some of the forums and what people are saying of the game itself. That well, however they were able to watch the game, were saying that the Odebert from Burnley we signed, he looked really, really good. Saying that he should have been, like, Werner and Richarlison should have been doing what he was been doing when playing out on the wing. So that's a good start to see.
I assume that means driving up players, trying to commit, you know, get defenders out of position and spinning exactly behind.
That. Yeah, it worked out well for Werner. Initially, it was working really well, but we weren't getting the ball. And I know Maddison got injured last season, so someone to play those killer passes through with Werner's pace wasn't really happening. And now Maddison, what last I've heard is Maddison's been having blinding games, like just dictating the play. He's been unlucky not to score. I saw his free kick.
He's had a couple of chances, hasn't he?
Yeah. One way through where Romero played a lovely ball over the top, which was a fantastic ball.
Yeah, and he just doesn't get enough on it to beat exactly Pickford, right?
Yeah, it was a bit unlucky. I also think Pickford was lucky not to get sent off. I don't know if
you
saw
that goal from it,
I know we got the goal from it, but do you imagine if someone went down? Mm-hmm. Do you reckon they would have classed that as a clear-cut chance because he was going away 100%. From the goal?
Yeah, I think if Son goes down and doesn't tuck the ball away, that's a red card all day long. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I mentioned after seeing. I did watch it a couple of times. I'm thinking, man, he did clip him.
He's lucky.
He's really lucky there. So that would have been
that's the honesty of Son though as well, isn't it? Staying on his feet.
If that was Kane, mate, you'll see him roll over and he'll still be rolling today.
It's scoring as well though at the same time.
Yeah, probably yeah. That was good to see Bissouma get on the score sheet, considering he's been doing some stuff illegally. Well, I say illegally, it's illegal stuff, but players shoot me
some naughty stuff,
stuff like that. Yeah, shoot me doing that, and it's good to apologise to the fans. When he scored his goal, which was a good.
No better way to apologise than scoring the first goal in the next game, right?
A banger at that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it was a banging goal. Kuzeski looking good with his feet again. He always gets. I like the position he's playing in. I mean, the team played fantastic. Everyone all over the pitch. And Brennan Johnson, a bit unlucky, a bit on him because he's making the runs, but he seems to just be running instead of making.
He does fall into that Martinelli category for me. And we've spoken about this before. Yeah. I just think he lacks the end product at the moment.
Yeah, he does. There's been times like any player, I guess, Aaron Lennon. Do you remember Aaron Lennon?
Mm-hmm.
Like there was times where he played a lovely ball in. But then there's other times where his pace is just so quick that they just can't seem to get a decent. I don't know if it's just speedy players. It's a problem with speedy players. I get Mbappe and all that are quick and they still pass crazy balls. But it's just there's something about him at the moment. I like he's making the runs. He's got energy. He's defending very well. He's helping out. So at the moment, can't drop him. I don't know who would play on that right. Kulusevski doesn't give that pace that we need. On the right, he drops back and gives a workhorse rate. But I like him popping in more the centre role.
So can the lad from Burnley play on the right, do you know, or is he just left?
I think he can. I think he can play up there. I think on the left-hand side, he only played there on the left-hand side against Everton was because of Solanke was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I don't know if it's because of game time. I don't know if it's because of fitness.
Well, he would have played, two games for Burnley to start the season as well.
Yeah.
So he's probably maybe a bit more match fit than a lot of the top players,
I guess,
maybe.
He had an injury and coming back. So I can only say that. And then putting Son up top, which, I can't say a bad word about that guy. There's some games, okay, he doesn't do great, but
I think if the biggest impact of Harry Kane going is Son's not really found himself again. He's not reinvented himself since Kane's gone. Like, we all know how good Son was with Kane, but he's not.
It's a different play. He's had to change the way he plays because he used to just run off. So Kane would get the ball, run off vehemently, play Kane.
He'd run it behind, wouldn't he?
It was just a great game of football.
You just haven't found that again since yet.
No, but what he is doing though, and then you see the goal against Everton, is that because of his pace, like just look at his pace from that. Considering his age as well, like he's as quick as anything, and you ain't going to get that with Kane. You're not going to get that with Solanke up top. Now, it's not always going to work like that. But
no, I mean, Pickford did take,
he took a heavy
probably
touch.
Say, an uncharacteristically heavy touch as well.
Exactly that, yeah.
So it's a good gamble by Son. Like,
it was.
And that's knowing that Pickford is going to take a touch as well, regardless of how heavy it is. Like, he's still going to go.
Oh, he'll still be chasing.
Put pressure on. Yeah,
still be chasing. That's what Ange Ball's about. Is that that's just the way that we play. We're pushing up. We're chasing. We're not giving them a chance to just pick the passes that they want to pick and take the time they want to take. Because in football, you know, the Premier League players are just phenomenal, aren't they? With their passing and stuff. And you give them time, it then can be detrimental to the opposing team. So,
do you think Pickford could have done better on any of the other goals? Like, the header was kind of right at him, but it's very close.
I think it was so close to the goal.
I agree. It's a very powerful
it's
header
very
as well.
Very powerful header, and so close. And I think even
he
if he came
out for it, though,
he could have done. But I've been seeing this with goalkeepers recently. There was a game. Oh, what game was it recently?
Somewhere else? Done it against Villa.
You've
just seen keepers. I don't know if it's like new staying tactics, or they're just staying on the line more because either you're playing zonal marking or man on man. It's just, I just don't know.
I feel like Pickford is the sort of keeper that comes out though.
He usually comes out punches, sometimes. Doesn't he?
Yeah,
he comes out on punches. A
and in that instance, it would have worked. I do think, yeah, Tottenham look great, but I think Pickford had a really poor game. I think you could have arguably said he could have done better for three of them. I know that header one may be a bit harsh, but
see,
you're not saving
think,
that first one.
Yeah. The second
one is
Pickford completely. The Son's second goal as well. It's quick.
It's very
through
his legs.
Yeah,
don't dive in like that.
He should have stayed on his line because he had two defenders coming towards Son. If he just stayed on his line, that's not going in on Son. Son's good on his left foot, but you know he's ambidextrous. Is that the word for it? For feet?
I think it is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because he scores free kicks and goals out to both feet anyway. But with that shot, that was more accuracy than power through that. And if he stayed on his line, that the key was saving it all day because they were just, it weren't like a bullet shot, it was just through his legs when he came out. And I agree, I think the keeper should be doing better, but I think his confidence was shot to shit. I think after the second goal, he just seemed to, after the mistake. Exactly.
Which is a bit uncharacteristic for him as well, because he is that big arrogant personality for a goalkeeper, isn't he? He's I don't want to say he's a but he's a fucking dickhead, right?
He thinks
a lot of himself, like a bit like Emi Martinez. He's going to celebrate making one save in a 3-0 loss,
he goes crazy at any player that just takes a shot from like 50 yards out or something. He just mugs someone just for the sake of it, not that it's anyone's fault, but I get what you mean. But again, Everton, I won't take this game as we played the best football ever. Don't get wrong, possession wise, you know, when I say we controlled the game, we did control the game, not like an hostile control. You know, we literally did just dominate that game. But they had shots, don't get me wrong, but they were more like
the one shot that I can recall,
the Odebet one from the mistake from that one.
So it's like a bad pass from your young lad that he probably won't do again now. Like, he's probably learnt from that. I think that was maybe their only shot on target.
I can't even moan at him for that, because if you look at it, watch it a few times, and he was trying, obviously he's trying to get someone with a pass. But he's just trying to get that one
pass.
It's a blind pass where that player
that would be the moan.
Should have been, and it would have been, he wants like the 1-2. It's that 1-2 sort of pass, but he's gone like a no look type pass and ran off. You know, like, I don't know if you do the passes before, but it's like corner on your eye.
I mean, I pass, because I'm not that kind of player.
But you do that corner on your eye type pass, knowing that there is a player normally in that area, or you may have seen a white shirt in that area, but obviously he's overhit it and it's gone. It's gone up, and they did nearly score from it because of defending We tried to defend it. Romero did well. And, you know, Vicario's what the goalkeeper's for in it, making those sort of easy saves. Because it wasn't that far away from him. But yeah, we dominated. I want to say aerial duels, but we actually lost those. I'm going to mention it now. It's a running thing. They committed loads of fouls in that game because obviously it's expected because we was attacking. Possession-wise, 70%. Shots, you know, they're 10 shots. They only had one on target, though. You know, so it was not like they weren't shooting. I don't know where they were shooting from, but they were shooting.
Yeah, it looks more and more like they're going to be in trouble this season.
I think so as well. Calvin Lewis, is he?
Yeah, he's still their player. There's talk about him leaving, but again, if you're another club, his injury record is so bad. Do you take that risk?
No, but I think for the Tottenham result, I can't complain this week. It's good to see the football. This could be a boost. We've got the hard part is we're talking next fixtures after this, aren't we?
Yeah.
So I won't say anything until you come to myself then.
I mean, you can say who you've got.
Yeah. Oh, no, I thought you just wanted that extra conversation.
We could even start the predictions. I don't know if anyone else has much to speak about Spurs.
Only
we'll go Spurs
that, first. Yeah. That Van de Ven run.
The Van de Ven. Clive, mate. There's many types of defenders. Yeah, many types of defenders. But Van de Ven, he's knocking on the door, mate. I'm kidding. He's not knocking the door yet, but he's looking good. I'm not going to lie. I'm honest when it comes to Tottenham.
He's looking good. Very good since you've signed him.
I know.
He was unfortunate last season with a hamstring injury, was it?
Yeah, yeah. He got a bit of a knock, and he did well in the Euros when he came on. It's just people were saying that he should be starting with Saliba. Is it him and Saliba? The same team, or is it my thing? Someone else.
Saliba's French. I don't know where.
No, who's from. The other one?
Van Dijk.
Van Dijk. Sorry. Here we go. Got there eventually. Van Dijk. Cheers.
I gave it to you.
Yeah. Him and Van Dijk should have been starting in defence because Van de Ven looked really good when he came on and started. So yeah, Van de Ven. I great signing. One of the things I
like about him as well is. He makes Romero look like a better player. Like I'm not saying Romero's a bad player, but Romero looks more confident, less likely to be rash.
Yeah.
He seems to settle. I'd say settle would be the word, Romero, when he's got Van de Ven next to him. Which is only a good thing for Spurs, right?
Yes, a partnership. I think now it's not just like, oh, we got Romero and Dier and he's playing next to a shit defender.
And Vertonghen, yeah.
Oh, mate, what a back four that was with Kyle Walker and Danny Rose. How we didn't win anything with them, I'll never know.
No comment.
but, yeah, great result. We've got Newcastle next. And, yeah, I can go on from there if you want, Clive, if you have me to.
We need Mike. Yeah, we need Mike to put the jingle in, so give him a second to do that.
Well done, Mike.
Thank you, man. It's a live jingle.
Wow. It's a live jingle. So let me just get the AI up. If you want to give us your prediction, you've got Newcastle away.
Yes. Right? See, I want to say a win. I want to. Being a Spurs fan, I always want us to win. Always. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. Now,
haven't had the best start, have they?
No, they haven't. But they're a bogey team. They beat a 6-1 last season. Hates me to say that as well. 6-1. Because I had that from my previous stats. Yeah, shut up. We don't care about that. Yeah. I mean, I should have just said 4-0 because that's not as bad. But it was the last result. I think this was the last result that we had against them in April. Look.
I mean, one thing I will say about Newcastle is how the fuck Joe Linton wasn't sent off against Bournemouth.
If
you've not seen it, he basically clotheslines the Bournemouth goalkeeper to stop them from a counter attack. It is unbelievable.
Wrestling moves are allowed this season, Clive. We've already had a chokehold.
Apparently so.
While we're talking about that game, sorry, just that freaking, that I can't believe that decision at the end of that Bournemouth goal.
The disallowed goal. Yeah, crazy.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So if you're getting it wrong again.
Luke, you'll be fine.
but they're just a bogey team and we're away from home. If if I can, you know, the Ange ball, if it works and players are not complacent, I think we can do him. But our record is not great against Newcastle. A bit like Brighton's record against Brighton record against Man United, where Brighton have beaten for the last five seasons or four seasons in a row. I saw some stat about that as well, where they just keep beating Man United. So it's just one of the ones with Newcastle. We just can't seem to beat him, even if we turn up and play well. Like Man City and us as well. It's just a weird thing that goes on in football. So
you haven't drawn one with Newcastle in the last six, Luke. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's why I think it's going to be 1-1. I know. Look, if it's not 1-1, I just feel like it's going to be a draw at least. If we play the football we're supposed to play and we've improved, if we've improved, we're either going to beat them or a draw. If we lose, then I just feel like it's the same Tottenham again. That's my personal opinion on that, because if we've not improved, we can't beat Newcastle at the moment or draw against Newcastle. I don't know. We're just dropping points against teams that, you know, we should be moving forward. And teams like Newcastle, we should be beating. It's like Villa and Arsenal.
It's like, I was going to say, yeah, it's a bit like you kind of want to see that progress, right? I mean, the biggest thing for Arsenal this weekend was Villa beat us both times last season. So hopefully, like, we're never going to get the same results against every other team we did in the Premier League.
No, exactly.
But these are the ones you really want to win, certainly early in the season.
Yeah, they make you feel confident moving forward, because they're teams that maybe pissed you off last season or even the last four or five seasons that you just can't hurdle over, like we did with Chelsea when we kept losing to Man United. Then we started beating them. Maybe not so much Chelsea, but we started beating the other teams that were our bogey team. Same with Arsenal. Also, all the time, and we started beating Arsenal. Even though it was like home away sort of thing, instead of just always getting beat twice a season, it just started changing. But we've got to do something with Newcastle, get a point, because we've got Arsenal next at home. I know we're not on that for the following week, but I'm just saying that because of the way that
don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, we're at home.
I think we've got an international break in between as well. I think
That doesn't help, especially for injuries and fuck's sake. Why do we do that against big games?
I think it's international break then the fourth round of fixtures.
Oh no, I forgot. Sorry. What will happen is Arsenal will complain that they've got some Africans Cup of Nation and COVID, and it has to be postponed again for 3 months. And then it's convenient for Arsenal.
Let's not talk about how many fucking matches that your players pull out of internationally because of little niggles, right?
I mean, they're all true niggles,
mate.
We'll
move past that, right? So, West Ham versus Man City, Bob.
I was just waiting for that all to kick off again, then sit back and enjoy it.
We kept it amicable.
Well,
is he going to predict the first loss?
I think we're going to score, but I think. While we're still organising our defence and that kind of thing, I think City will score a few. So I think it's going to be 3-1 City.
3-1 to Man City. That's the first loss of the season.
Are you a home
that
ball
has
away?
Been
home. But I think
3-1 loss at home.
I think he's right.
I just think my only concern is that I think if we counter-attack as well as we did in the second half, I know it was against Palace, but I think we could even score more than one, but I do think that City will win. Yeah. So
there is space at City,
mate.
They just look on it
at the moment. So
teams do score against City. It's just, they're just so good at coming back.
I mean, I've only considered one so far this season.
I mean, overall, though, Clive, in general, for City. They do concede. It's just that they just bang in more goals than they can see. They're just great.
They are fantastic. Chelsea, Crystal Palace.
Ooh,
Mitchell.
Oh, we've actually
your first London derby of the season.
We have a very good record against Palace. In fact, we haven't lost them in the league since 2017.
So are you going to take the Luke Jaw approach and say you're not going to get a win?
We'll lose 4-1.
Quote from Cologne all over the weekend is, anytime Chelsea scored, Mitchell said, Oh, how could you predict a 3-1 win or a 3-2 win? Oh, how could you predict a 4-2 win? How could you predict a 5-2 win?
I mean, I was literally just about to say, I don't know how you can fucking predict the score with this Chelsea team. I've got Palace are scoring 1, so we're going that.
Yep.
It's how many are we going to score? Oh, I've considered a 2-1, a 3-1, and a 4-1. If he fucking plays, Neto, Madueke, and Palmer, I'm saying 4-1.
You only named 3 scorers, but yeah, go on.
No, but I mean, if he plays them 3, I think we score 4 goals. I don't know who's going to score the 4, but we make a lot of chances. And Palace have not had a good opening couple of games, so
they've sold a lot of players. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go 4-1 Chelsea.
I feel like you're Chelsea. Gonna 4 wins the whole inconsistent Chelsea thing and just go back to. I think you will win, but I think it'll be slightly less than that. I think it'll be like a 2-1 or something.
I'd consider 2-1, but we'll see.
And Arsenal play Brighton at home. I am going to go home win 2-0. We're going to keep our third clean sheet in the row this season. That's what I'm going. I don't think Brighton were particularly great at the weekend. They beat United, which is a great result for Brighton, but I don't think they. I mean, it's United being United at the moment, right? I think they had 2 goals disallowed as well. I'm pretty confident. So go on, Bob.
I don't think. Yeah, the Brighton didn't have to play well to beat Man United. Really, Man United were not good in that match at all. Did you watch it?
No, we didn't watch that one.
Oh, they're absolute pants. Fuck you, man.
All right, so AI has predicted, I'll start with the Arsenal game. It's predicted a 2-1 win for Arsenal at home. It has predicted West Ham 1, Manchester City 3. So it's followed Bob. It knows. It's scared of Bob's predictions.
It knows, isn't it? It knows. Can I change mine now?
It has predicted.
It's better than recorder post.
Yeah. It's read that news. It's taken it all in. It's predicted Chelsea to beat Palace 2-1. And it has predicted a Newcastle Tottenham draw 2-2. So it's followed Luke as well with its draw. Which is interesting.
I was going to say 2, but I don't know if we're going to get that many goals against Newcastle.
I really think you will.
Nick Pope made a couple of big saves at the weekend as well, from what I saw, and them having Nick Pope back is pretty big for them.
Yeah, I think 1-1. It could be one of those games.
Yeah, you're not allowed to change. You're locked in. So.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was a thing, but I'll stick with 1-1 anyway.
Locked in. As soon as you give it to me, you can't change just because you've heard the AI's prediction. So we discussed forfeits over the weekend as well, and we still need to work on Luke, Bob. He's in for a forfeit, but he absolutely does not want to wear an Arsenal shirt.
Bob, before we go there, yeah, you got to think. Out of the two teams, Tottenham and West Ham, yeah, points-wise and the way that we're going, compared to Chelsea and Arsenal, we're more than likely going to lose. Yeah,
well, how can you say that?
No, hear me out, yeah? But if they're already predicting that I need to wear an Arsenal shirt, they're thinking I'm already going to lose.
We're not predicting that. We're saying that would be the forfeit.
Well, I don't know why I've got to wear an Arsenal shirt. I'd rather wear a West Ham shirt than wear an Arsenal shirt.
But the difference is, Luke, you say it's different for us, but it's predictable, West Ham, because we're just predictably shit. Whereas the other teams are predictably quite good.
I generally think it's hard. Mitchell's in the hardest position because how volatile Chelsea are. If I was a betting man, I'd bet that Mitchell's going to lose this.
I agree. How are you going to predict these fucking scores? It's ridiculous. Talking of, though, Clive, did we go over... what the AI got last week.
We've not done results last week, so we can, yeah, that's a good shout. That's a quick rundown. It is on our Twitter, which is at LondonIs with a zero as a second O. There we go, we've got a shout in there. Yeah. So obviously, game week two, AI predicted a 2. What did it predict? No, it predicted a 1-1 draw for West Ham and Palace. So, obviously, the West Ham win means it got 0 points. It predicted a 2-1 Tottenham win against Everton. So, it got the overall result. So, it got 1 point. It predicted an Arsenal 3-1 win. So, again, 1 point. And it predicted a Chelsea win, 2-0. So, it got 1 point there.
See, look, you don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I feel better about my 4-1 now. Yeah, fuck it.
We've cracked it. We've cracked it after the first week.
And we all scored points this week. So, yeah, it takes AI's overall to 8 and humans' overalls or man's overalls to 5. and it keeps me in a 1-point lead at the top of the charts, not wearing a Tottenham shirt at the end of the season, unlike Luke, who could be wearing an Arsenal shirt at the end of the season.
I don't agree to that, yeah.
it's locked in, mate.
I think what we should do is whoever loses the other 3 vote on what kit they wear. So, Luke, you might be lucky and these two might say, oh, we can't make them wear an Arsenal shirt.
No, because they know how much it hates me. They know how much
make them wear a Chelsea shirt.
No. They know how much I hate
an Arsenal shirt.
Yeah, exactly. So don't even go there, Clive. Some reverse psychology bullshit, yeah? It's, I only know that.
Do you think I'd do that to you, Luke?
Bob,
yeah.
He's touted you all weekend, Bob. He's like, Bob's the one I've got to talk to. I've got to get him on my side.
I have faith in Bob. Bob, remember that time you come around mine for Halo? Yeah? And I let you in and we played the new Halo. I'm just saying, that was, I let you in that day into my
I let you in that day.
Jesus. An unexpected visit to come and play the new Halo game. You know?
What you're forgetting is we're Bob's shrinking buddies.
Yeah, but Halo's more important than alcohol, all right? Halo's more important than alcohol. I would give the theme tune, but I think there's a copyright issue if I do that, so I won't do that. And Mike will have to cut it out.
Mike, put in the theme tune.
Poor Mike will have to
do a lot of beeping again.
Yeah, or Clive be pissed off because he has to keep re-uploading it. So I think we'll see what happens.
Well, it's agreed. Luke has to wear an Arsenal top, Chelsea shorts, West Ham socks.
You guys don't take pride in your team. If you're happy, and not even fighting against. Yeah,
we wearing another team's do take shirt. Pride.
No, you don't, because you're happy to wear a Tottenham top.
I'll never be happy.
But for the sake of the show. There's no such thing as for the sake of the show. I don't get paid for this show. You're joking, right? I don't get paid.
It's not about losing.
Just be better than everyone else. No, you don't. You don't even have to be the best. All you've got to do is not lose.
Look,
be better
than one other person. Just be Spurs.
1% chance of me wearing an Arsenal kit. That's 1% more.
And that's if you.
All right.
That's if you lose. Yeah.
No. I'm happy to actually not wear any kit on. I'll do something else.
Are you gonna go naked?
I'll go and watch an Arsenal game and stand in the Arsenal side, fine, and I even put a Tottenham shirt on.
That's not punishment.
Streak at the Emirates.
Yeah, all right, I also get arrested. No, I'm good.
Well, you got to wear an Arsenal top.
No.
He's going to come round like halfway through the season. He might have like top of the points, and he'd be like, "Yeah, never said that I wouldn't wear an Arsenal shirt." I mean, game.
He even ate a Lucas Podolski shop the other day, so
he did.
Secret Arsenal fan, isn't he?
Oh look, for the record, it was actually quite nice. Not great, but it was nice. All right, I'll give credit where it's due, mate. I'll keep it honest.
Particularly liked the ketchup and mayo mixed sauce.
I did. That was very, very nice.
I was going to absolutely chuck some Saka stats at you, but I think that can wait till next week after he's got another goal and assist.
I can't offer Saka, mate.
Well, we all know that, mate. But
I think
like...
that I do.
Cool.
Just needs one injury to shut the Arsenal fans up. Oh, I can't wait for it.
Cool.
All right, I mean, why would you wish an injury on any player? Like, I wouldn't wish that on any Spurs player at all.
You lying bastard.
Yeah.
Not at all. Like, why would you wish an injury on someone?
Yeah, you fucking would.
Yeah.
Talent. The amount of times I've heard you say, oh, I wish Kane would break his leg.
I've never said that about Kane.
I hope he breaks his fucking ankles.
He's an Arsenal fan. I wouldn't want that to happen to him.
Classic. 99% of our players are Arsenal fans, for fuck's sake. Probably why we ain't got a trophy.
That's probably what you're trying to do to get over that. Get the winners in.
Yeah, okay. Then they leave Arsenal to win.
A lot of them do, yeah. Yeah, a lot of them do, yeah. Like a lot of the Tottenham players leave Tottenham to win, like Carrick.
No, let's leave your business, mate. Let's leave your business. We need the minions.
Oh, yeah, it's always Arsenal business, too.
For the club.
Oh, it's Arsenal business there. Oh.
Are you two done?
I know, right? I've been kissing all night. Jesus Christ.
It's him. He's just on it.
No, it's just Arsenal fans, mate.
He's just on it.
They just frustrate me because they can't be honest.
You have spent the weekend with two Arsenal fans, and they have riled you. And it's boiled over into this podcast.
He can't take the fact that we're good again at the moment.
It's not
10, 15 years.
You was good last season.
He just can't take it.
You was good last season and that's what I mean.
In the collectiveness.
I'm not saying you're playing bad at all. I think you're doing really well. I just think sometimes with Arsenal is that they're so full up their arse that they can't see the bigger picture with other clubs around them as to like, oh, do you know what? The Villa game. Yeah, Villa were all over us. We didn't actually control the game. When
they weren't all over us. How many saves did Raya have to make?
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying with Arsenal fans. Like, they can't wait to go like, oh, we're unbeatables. Oh, you know? It was a good game.
Again,
you won the game.
You bring that up every single time.
You won the game by luck.
If you go back to the first podcast,
you won the game by luck.
You're the one that comes up and says about the Invincibles. You, as a Tottenham fan, continually bring it up.
Because that's all I hear, because you guys don't won nothing for years and, you know, we're so great, we're the best. That's what you get from Arsenal fans when they go on defensive.
Not.
They 100% do. Every time
all
Arsenal...
Right, so when have I said we've been the best?
You're an Arsenal fan. You've always said they've been the best.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
Name me a time.
I'll tell you a time.
Three seasons.
Listen. Yeah. I'll tell you a time, right? You try and take credit for what the women have done.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh,
yeah.
Here we go again. They're part of
Arsenal. So, of course.
Yeah, but they haven't won the Champions League.
The women have won the Champions League.
They've won the WCL.
They've won the Champions League.
It's a different competition, mate. All right.
Just because you're sexist and you
these
don't
these fucking
like
Arsenal
games,
fans, right? They're full of...
The last thing we'll talk about tonight is transfer windows closing end of the week.
transfer windows closing
at the end of the week. Any wish lists for the deadline?
Haaland.
We all. Yeah, I can definitely second that. Yeah. Any realistic wish lists?
We have too many players. Realistically, I hope we lose some players. Because it's
anyone
horrific.
Particular? Raheem Sterling.
Sterling, please. Off your pop.
Apparently he's very linked with Man United at the moment to do with some deal or something.
United? Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's annoying.
You'd take it, though, wouldn't you? Get him out?
Yeah, I'd take it. But he fucking, United, him and United, they score against us. And he'd love it. He'd milk the shit out of it. I really don't like Sterling.
Well?
You can have him then.
I've always liked... No, I didn't like Sterling when he was in Liverpool.
Or playing for England a lot of the time.
No, England. No, I didn't mind him at England. Really? I like that he played... He played really well for England, in fairness.
Better than Saka.
He did. Well,
that's a different argument. That's for different positions as well. I'm not going to compare Sterling to Saka. Yeah, they play different ways. Sterling actually takes players on. Saka doesn't, but he cuts in. He cuts in very well.
We're
a battle on that. Wait, your Arsenal fan says this on Well, they say that all the time, that he doesn't get down the byline and cross it enough.
Oh, again, for fuck's sake.
Oh,
shit.
Can we all agree it's him that brings it up every single time?
You literally just brought it up.
I didn't bring Saka into the conversation.
I didn't bring Saka into it.
I did.
I was going to say, I didn't. And I literally was agreeing.
And the one thing I'll say, did he not cross the ball in this week and last week?
But did you not hear what I said? Did you even hear what I said in that game? Just before he did that, I said to Mitchell, I said, the one problem with Saka is he doesn't get to byline enough. 3-4 times I said to Mitchell, that watching cut back, before he even did it, Clive, this is the great thing about watching football and watching players, is that I know what they're going to do before they do it. So as soon as Saka got the ball, what did he do? He cut it back. Second time. Oh, he cut it back. Third time, cut it back. I said to Mitchell, if he gets down the line and crosses it in, they've got more chance of scoring. And guess what he done? Got down the line, crossed it in, and you got the lucky goal. Oh, how amazing was that right there? And you scored it. But legitimately, does really well when he goes down the line. But he doesn't. Yes, because he gets doubled up, Clive. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say because he likes to variate what he does.
No, he just can't take players on. But again, it could be because he gets doubled up. I am all for watching a game, Clive, and understanding it. Is that when I sometimes see Saka and he's quick, but he's not like suit like Kyle Walker quick or most player quick, but he's quick enough to beat certain players. Yeah, get down that line, cross it in, but he hasn't got a great right foot, and I think that's his problem. That's why he cuts it in a lot and crosses it in. But I like the way that he plays at the moment because he gives you like you said with the Ben White. When he ran off, it gave space for him to run and not get marked by two players. He shrugged him off, got across on his right foot, and then they scored the goal. But I like the way that he runs off like that and then cuts in sometimes with left. He did it for England when he scored with his left. He found space, come in on his left and scored. I think he did a similar one. Oh, he nearly scored in that game, didn't he? The keeper saved it.
Yeah.
It nearly went in first bottom half. Corner. Yeah, that was it, which was a great save. Again, yeah, I will praise the player when they want. But I feel like with Saka, with his abilities, he should be. I think even Ian Wright may have said it once that he needs to beat that player and get that crossing. But yeah, the way he's playing at the moment seems to be working. But that was just my opinion.
Can we agree we're not going to mention Saka again for the rest of
yeah,
the
year? Yeah, I can agree with
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not, because he's going to absolutely eat up teams again this season like he has for the last two seasons.
I meant the rest of this episode, but.
I will not mention his name again unless Luke does.
No, I won't.
Mention whose name?
Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
Back to transfers, you fucking tits.
Oh, yeah.
West Ham, do you think you're going to do any more business?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think Saka might come to West Ham. So, I think... So I mentioned earlier, I think Danny Ings apparently potentially on his way out by the sounds of things, which means, I do like Mickey, but I think we need another option. Apparently we're linked with Tammy Abraham from Roma.
Okay, from Roma, wow.
But... which I would actually be quite happy with, to be fair.
They will use.
Yeah. But I think his transfer fee and wages are causing a bit of a problem at the moment, so I don't know how likely that's going to be. Apparently they want 34 mil for him, 100k wages a week or something. But yeah, I think that would be the only one, really. And I think if we manage to keep... because Zuma's... I think he's in Saudi at the moment having a medical... so he's on his way out. So if we keep a Gerd, I think a Gerd. I don't know why I said that so weird. I think we'll be all right defensively if we have a Gerd as like backup. So yeah, I think just from a striker point of view, maybe we might get someone in. But what that looks like, I don't know. The other thing is potentially James Ward-Prowse is on the way out.
Oh really?
Yeah. Apparently, there's talks of him going back to Southampton. Because
he's not taking
we've been linked with him for ages. Yeah, but we've been linked with this guy for ages from PSG, Carlos Soler, I don't know. But he's also a midfielder, which would suggest that there's something going on with James Ward-Prowse, but I don't know. I wouldn't like to see him go. I think he's done well for us. He was very good last season. He hasn't really made much of an appearance this season, but I'm sure he'd do well. So, yeah, that's it from West Ham. Or me. Or whatever.
Luke, Tottenham?
No, we've got some players going out. Ashley Phillips on loan. He's heading somewhere, I can't remember where off the top of my head. Manor Solomon's going to Leeds. I think he's having a medical. And obviously we've just lost, I say lost, we got rid of, I think we had that last week anyway, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oliver Skip, yeah.
Oliver Skip is always gone. Coming in, I don't think we need anyone. I think we've got a big enough squad and the youngsters coming through now on the bench. I don't see what we would need to, if Sank is going to, hopefully he bangs in a bunch of goals, if that's the case, if Son's on form, if Madison can stay fit, maybe an experienced attacking midfield player?
Not just to share the burden a little bit.
Yeah, they've got Bergvall, but I think he's still a bit young. I think he'd do well, but if you've got teams like playing against Man City, then it's you know it's going to be difficult for him to come on and try and dictate that midfield against a team like that with not so much experience. So maybe having someone a very attacking midfield back, but I don't know who that would be. Maybe someone that goes under the radar, a bit like a Van de Ven, goes under the radar, and we get him in, and he's phenomenal, or at least good enough to be a backup to Madison. But then again, Kulusevski could fit in there with his experience. So we've got the squad now, but I think for now I'm happy with the squad. But yeah, that's me.
For me, Arsenal, just a striker really. We got some players we're still trying to get rid of. Eddie and Ketia being one.
There's talks on that. I don't know if you've seen.
Yeah, Palace.
Yeah.
Since the Forest deal fell through, apparently. 25 million now, 5 million in add-ons. But obviously we've got the Spanish guy that apparently was in London over the weekend for his medical. So just waiting for the announcement now. And then it would be nice to get a striker in, but we shall see. Arteta seems to know what he's doing. So,
what Spanish guy? Sorry,
Marino.
Is that what position is he?
He's like left centre midfield, 6 foot. I think the idea will be that he kind of play where Rice has been playing.
Okay, so like a backup to Rice.
Not a backup. I think he'd go in, and Thomas Partey will be dropped to the bench, and I think Rice will become the holding midfielder outright. Be interesting. He's big, loves to win the aerial duels. So you're quite like him, Luke. he can play. He's quite well known for playing long diagonal balls, which again would kind of fit the Arsenal style with getting it out wide to Martinelli and the player we shall not name for the rest of the episode. So yeah, I think that is a done deal, and it's just waiting the announcement now. Striker is the only real other position. We might get rid of Ramsdale and get another goalkeeper in to be backup.
That's a bad idea.
It's a great idea.
Don't disagree.
I think that's a bad idea. I think he's got the experience. So I'll let you go on, Clive, but I think he's got experience, and I'll leave it at that.
I think it's more what the player wants.
Gotcha.
Obviously, Ramsdale, I think he was probably, if he'd played last season, he would have been really pushing Pickford for the England number one spot. Not saying that he would have taken it because Southgate loved Pickford.
Yeah, he likes Pickford, yeah.
But I think if Ramsdale's playing consistently, he could definitely be within reach and distance of the England shirt. Obviously, Nick Pope being back from injury as well gives him even more competition. So he's got to play. He's got to be playing week in, week out for his own career now, which no Arsenal fan will be happy to see him go at all. But at the same time, Arsenal fans are realistic in the sense that we like to see good players that have done well for us play. We want to see them happy, like, as long as they don't get results against us. Like,
would you like to see him happy at Chelsea? We've let you have keepers before.
Yeah, you give us trash though, mate. Like, and I'm not saying Peter Cech was trash.
I do.
He was trash for us. I mean, he gave West Ham the first goal of the season. Yeah.
But we had to do.
The quality of players we've given you over the last 20 years compared to the quality of players you've given us back.
Well, you can have Kepa, right?
No, we're
he
good.
He can be your backup keeper.
We're good.
We'll take Ramsdale.
I will pass on all of your goalkeepers. Thank you very much.
So would I.
I wouldn't want to sell to Chelsea, but I'd like to see him play.
Chelsea.
I think there are other clubs that are probably lower down the league that are more likely to get him. Like Wolves has been linked with him. I think Newcastle were linked with him for a while, but I don't think that will happen because again, Pope is there. So maybe somewhere like Palace, although they've got Sam Johnson and another goalkeeper, I think, who's actually playing in front of Sam Johnson at the moment. I think Ramsdale will unfortunately be on his way out. And I think that will be it. I can't see us doing much more business now.
Do you have an opinion on a striker? Who do you want? Like, do you want a target man or do you have the pacey striker?
I think we need someone that's going to be in and around the box. Because the kind of football we play and the width that we use, I think having someone in the box that is very, very good in the air and good at snap finishes would be good. Ivan Toney, if he didn't have such a crap personality, apparently would be a very good fit.
Apparently he's going to Saudi, isn't he?
That's what I've heard.
I've heard that as well. I would also, like, I mean, if I was to cherry pick any players, obviously the one player I said previously, I stick by as well. I think Ollie Watkins would fit very well in at Arsenal. Or Isak from Newcastle would also fit in.
Okay. Yeah, be a good part.
But I see. Don't think.
Good in the
air. I don't think we'd get either of them at the moment. You're looking at 120 million to get either of them, I think. So,
I don't think they're worth it,
but that's how much you'd have to pay to try and get the clubs to sell them. I think that's it. I think that's a wrap tonight, boys. It's what, an hour and 35 this one. So,
weren't expecting that on a podcast where all of our teams won.
Yeah. Again, Luke kicking off's not helped. We'll cut all of this, Mike, by the way, from the rap part. We've been all off. But yeah, I think we're done for the night.
I think you need to keep it, mate. I think you got it in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an hour and 35 minutes, Luke. I mean, I'm saying keep all of our bickering in. I'm saying from the moment I say it's a wrap, off.
The bickering's great.
I've got a lot of time for the bickering. But it's this stuff that we've not stopped recording.
Why have we not stopped recording?
I don't think we should.